best in the world.
The boyhood dream has come true for Shawn Michaels.
Oh, yeah!
You are listening to the ReviewFix.com podcast.
Howdy, wrestling fans. Patrick Hickey Jr., the Caucasian Sensation, here with Juan de Jesus to bring you another edition of the ReviewFix.com wrestling podcast. What's up, Juan? How you doing?
Not much. Feel like I've been kicked in the face. But it wasn't a shotgun kick. I'm looking at you, Hideo Itami. Please come back soon.
Yeah, we miss him.
I do. People almost forgot that he was signed to NXT. And you know, he occasionally has to show up in a crowd for people to remember him.
It's pretty scary how deep NXT is right now. I mean, like, they release, like, Solomon Crow, Itami's injured, there's a bunch of injuries. Like, they just pick up and make the best of, like, what they have when they have it.
Do they make the best of what they have, or do these young guys know that it's their chance? And if not, there's going to be 4 or 5 months before their chance comes again.
That's true. I think it's a little bit of both. Like, even like the lower mid-card guys on NXT, like, I absolutely adore. Like, Ty Dillinger, I think, like, Ty Dillinger could be, like, a star in TNA or, like, ROH. Like, he's awesome. Like, I love when he walks out and he's, like, 10-10. And he's just good, man.
I really wish they would let him build a little momentum.
Same here.
Because they need a strong mid-card program. Because, you know, I don't know, NXT has been a little stagnant in the championships for a little bit. Actually, the most interesting one, in my opinion, are the tag team championships, just because there's more movement on the card for the tag team titles. You have, you know, Scott Dawson and Dash Wilder, who admittedly I think are nobodies.
They have an awesome finisher, though, man.
It is a good finisher when they hit it correctly.
Yes.
When they hit it just above the upper chest where it looks like the guy's face went directly into the knees, it's fantastic. It's one of the better tag team finishers that I've seen in a while.
So you don't like Dash and Dawson?
It's not that I don't like Dash and Dawson. It's that I don't think they get enough mic time.
Yeah, I don't think so either. I think they're like a modern-day like Tully Blanchard and Arn Anderson. Like, I love that.
But that's fine, but Arn Anderson could talk.
Yeah, that's true.
Right? But the problem is they're almost a little afraid. I don't know if you've noticed at the recent crop of the NXT shows, people's ears are red. Right? Mm-hmm. And I understand. So if they come out from the ring, you could say, you know, it's like they're just, the blood is pumping. But a lot of people, these ears are red. Peyton Royce was cutting a promo the other day with the flower of her new Venus
flytrap. Oh, yeah, that was awful. Oh.
And she's just like, she's shaking.
Yeah.
Because she's nervous. And I'm like, if you're shaking on a camera pre-recorded promo, right, you have a problem.
That was the same episode where they had all the divas that were in that Battle Royal Cup promos.
Yeah, but
and they were all shit. They were all awful.
Well, Carmella's was okay.
Yeah, Carmella's was okay.
But the problem is, that's better than any storytelling on a diva for the main roster.
Sure, you're right. When was the last time any of those girls got promo time?
And it's not promo time with someone in the middle.
Yes.
It's just them being themselves.
Yep.
Which is why they're so forgivable.
Mm-hmm.
Because you realize NXT is a proving ground.
Yes.
Right? And the stronger ones came to the top. The lower ones did. And then there's people who don't need to cut fucking promos, like Asuka. She doesn't need to cut promos.
Yeah.
Alexa Bliss has gotten monumentally better, especially as the mouthpiece of BAMF.
She's just so tiny. I can't take her seriously as a wrestler.
Oh, she's like a Polly Pocket. I wish I could just put her in my pocket.
That's,
you know,
what she said.
But
she's
a
good manager.
I think if they get to talk more, because they have shown signs of gritting. I like that style of tag team, a gritty tag team.
Uh-huh.
I think they need a new set of music. Even though I don't mind it.
Well, Murphy and
No. Dash and Dawson.
Oh, yeah.
I think, you know, we could go.
We go hard. Oh,
I get it, but that was with your prior gimmick, the mechanics gimmick, that never made it to air.
Yeah.
And just became like this just straight up Minnesota Wrecking Crew style gimmick.
Yeah.
Which works because it's unseen.
Yes.
You know, even the Usos are like, we're brothers, look at us dance Samoan style, the New Day, the Ascension, everyone's got a theme. Why don't you just be some badass guys who, you know, just like to kick ass? And that's what you're coming across as. And you have the perfect antithesis, which is other badass guys from New York who are style and substance.
Yes, I love. Enzo and Cass are probably the best tag team in NXT history that have never won the title. And I'm talking, I mean the best, and I'm talking best overall, because they are not Chad Gable and Jason Jordan in the ring. Not even close on their best day, times two, with like Ric Flair's sperm in their bellies. They're not even like close. But it's like...
But did you see what NXT did? You're going to have one heel team and three face teams.
Yeah.
Right, you had vaudevillains, you had Enzo and Cass, right, and you had Chad Gable, right? But Chad Gable and Jason Jordan, because before that you had and Scott Dawson. Don't even get me started. Not Dawson. I can't even remember his name. It's D'Angelo Hawkins.
Oh yeah.
And his friend, who have now broken up, are seemingly off TV.
Yeah.
I think they are, for as good as wrestlers they are, they had a Shoot Nation gimmick going and it got shot down.
Yeah.
I think turning the vaudevillains heel was the right time, because you balance the division, which is something that WWE still is lacking.
Yes, I
mean,
you
have the Ascension, you have the New Day. The New Day have become tweeners. Yes. They're not even heels yet anymore, in my opinion. I don't know.
Because people agree. Just love them. No, I agree. They're fucking hilarious. That little tirade with The Rock was hilarious.
Oh, it was great.
Did you watch the Road Trip show on WWE?
Not yet.
They were great. Like, they were just bullshitting the entire time, and it's like, they're just like regular guys. They're geeks, and you know, Kofi's like the elder statesman, and Langston's like, you know, the nerdy goofball, and like Xavier's like a little bit of both, you know? So it's like they work really well off of each other. And again, too, if they're being pushed as heels, that show didn't do a good job of getting them over as heels.
Because
it makes you like them, you know?
But besides that, who do you have? Who do you have? You have the Ascension.
Yeah.
And they're not even good heels.
I would make the Dudleys go bad, man.
What happened?
I would just make the Dudleys go heel. Have them just be putting people through chairs and, like, tell the fans, like, listen, we're going to retire. Fuck you guys. Like, we just want to win the titles one more time. Don't cheer us, you know?
The Dudleys, that's something we're going to save for the Raw discussion, because I have a big problem with their booking.
Okay.
I think NXT and the tag team division is solid.
Oh yeah.
That title is actually more interesting than the Copper Pennies on the main roster.
Yes, I agree.
I'm excited to see Cass and Enzo win it, right? Or Jason Jordan, Chad Gable, who on their own are not phenomenal. They have the skills and everything else, but combined, they are something else.
Yeah,
and
I agree.
They are bringing out the best in each other.
I don't see either one of them being able to be successful singles performers in NXT. I don't think either one of them could be successful singles performers like in the WWE. Jordan has a higher upside, you know, because of his size and his athletic ability and stuff like that. But it's like together, they just, the sum of their parts are excellent together. I love Chad Gable. It's just, he's so small, and it's like, I don't know. But then at the same time too, look at Daniel Bryan, you know, look at The Miz. These are all undersized guys that were able to do it. But it's just like, Chad Gable just looks like a hobbit. Like, he's so tiny.
But the problem with Gable is he could take a beating.
Yes. Yeah, he's like the Buddy Roberts. Yes. Uh-huh. Yep.
So you can't be
a heel if you take a beating.
Yeah.
You can't be. Yep.
And he's a likable guy.
Mm-hmm.
Which is like the worst part. It's like, he's a legit athlete, and so is Jason Jordan.
Yeah.
Right? But he is a legit athlete. He was an Olympian, you know, and I'm just going, Dan Gable, it's your time. It's your time to move up. It's
yep.
your time. And the way he hits that finisher, it's been a little sloppy sometimes, but you know, I think it's been fairly consistent, and I'm excited to see them winning from Enzo and Cass.
NXT did such a good job putting that team together and like building up like Gable to be somebody that like you would care about from like, you know, the 3 or 4 weeks where Gable was like, "Come on, Jay, like I'm your guy." Like, they did such a good job making people care about, like, that team. That's just not done in the WWE. Like, on the main roster. They don't do stuff like that. You know?
Mm-hmm. So. Well, moving from the tag team to the women's division.
Mm-hmm.
This is where it's been stagnant. You know, Bayley beating Nia Jax, I understand, and it was good, right? It had some problems, the match at London, but Nia Jax is still pretty new.
She looked good. I mean, that was basically like a Gail Kim Awesome Kong match.
And it did its job.
Yeah, I agree. But it wasn't. It wasn't Sasha Banks versus Bayley, and it wasn't even like Paige versus Charlotte. You know, it wasn't Nia Jax. I mean, it's not her. It's not her weight. It's not her size, because she can go. But the thing is, it's like, I don't think her air is where it needs to be yet. And then the thing is, I don't think she hits power moves with the type of confidence that someone her size.
That's because she's afraid to hurt
people. Yes. So it's like, I don't know if you're familiar with Sandy Koufax, the guy that used to play for the Dodgers back in like the 50s and 60s.
Yeah.
He only played in the major leagues like 12 years. And the first 6 years of his career, he was petrified that he was going to kill somebody if he hit them with a fastball. And he was awful the first 6 years of his career. And then one time, one of the Dodgers catchers came over to him and was like, listen, if you hit somebody, you hit somebody. This is a game. Like, you need to, like, go out there with reckless abandon and just do what you need to do. And do it as repeatedly as possible. And that's what he started doing. The last 6 years of his career, he had insane numbers. Like, to even, like, somebody like Clayton Kershaw can't touch his numbers. And I think, like, I don't think Nia Jax is going to, like, kill somebody. I don't think she's seriously going to hurt anybody. But she has to work like a Vader, you know, or like a Stan Hansen. She has to work
overwhelming force.
Yeah, she has to work stiff. People aren't going to like to work with her, like, on a continuous basis. But she's going to be able to give them matches that they remember, you know? That's what she has to go with. I think, I love, like, what she brings to the ring. I love, like, that she's a bitch, but, like, when she smiles, you're like, oh, you know what? She's actually, like, kind of pretty. Or, like, you know what? She like, plays that duality very well. Mm-hmm. She just needs to be – she needs to let go a little bit when she's in there.
But I just – I see a bright future for her.
Yeah.
She just needs to work on stuff.
I agree.
But the brightest star that rose out of that that 20-woman rumble – the last time I counted, there weren't 20 women in there.
Yeah.
But it's neither here nor there, right, was Carmella.
Yeah.
And this is where I've been a little disappointed, because Alexa Bliss was in the picture. Here comes Eva Marie, so they can Alexa Bliss's program, right, mm-hmm. to an early end, which was a mistake. They gave Eva Marie, frankly, a good match, right, because there was a good story being told where she almost won the title.
Oh, yeah.
Underhanded tactics. And I'm like, you see what happens when you tell a good story and you could cover up shitty wrestling.
And let's be fair, though. Eva Marie has gotten much, much better.
Yes.
Like,
but
she's still...
She's not going to get over in that area. And she's not going to get over in NXT, despite no matter how much she wants, because that crowd already knows.
Yeah.
And they're not going to forgive.
It's like even the same thing with What's-Her-Face. She spent some time in NXT, and she wrestles a lot of dark matches. The other Funkadactyl.
Cameron.
Did you see Cameron's last match when she wrestled Asuka?
Yeah.
That was actually a pretty damn good match. I was like, holy shit, look at her. You know, so, I don't know. I feel like Eva Marie has gotten what she needed to get out of, like, the time with Kendrick, out of NXT. I think she needs to go back to the main roster now.
Well,
I think she's taking time away from people that need it more than she does. Well, I think they could get what they need to get out of her with what she's able to do in the ring now. Before, she was just unable to, like, get even the smallest thing done. Now I think, like, she'll be able to be in, like, a mid-card program in the Divas division. Or manage somebody and take bumps. You know, something. I don't know. But all I know is that she's fucking hot. And she needs to be on TV. That's it. You know? So,
maybe she should start working on her promos. And they have gotten better, too.
They have, but they just feel so forced.
Yeah.
Like, because, she's the equivalent.
She's artificial, dude.
Yeah, she's like the equivalent of, like, a porno star in, like, you know, one of those pornos that, like, have a story. And you're like, no. Like, no. Don't talk. You know? It's like, she needs to just kind of, like, go in there. And, like, because she plays the part well. She comes out with a robe and she opens it up. And she's got, like, like how Flair used to be. Flair would come out and he wouldn't have to say anything and he'd just open the robe and woo, but she doesn't have that whoo. She doesn't have that like extra. You know, she looks the part. She can wrestle much better now, but she needs something. Mm-hmm. You know, she just doesn't have it yet. I don't know.
Well, but Carmella does.
She does.
And her striking heart.
And I love her finisher. I love that leg lock.
I think she needs a knockout finisher.
She does. She needs both.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because you can't always land that. Sometimes it's outside interference.
Yep.
You know.
I agree.
But I think she needs a knockout finisher. Either, you know, like a from the second rope knee to the face.
Mm-hmm.
You know, something that, you know, you could call it sling. You can't call it sling blade. You could call it something New Yorker. You know, or something. It's something very. I'm pretty sure there's some like Pot of the Jewel thing you could probably throw in there,
God,
and it'll work.
Funny.
But I think, you know, it's signs for a good program. Frankly, no one's heel at this point.
She should turn heel, but she won't because of Enzo and Cass.
Yeah, so she can't. So you know, it has to be a Neville where maybe Bailey's a little heelish. Because remember, Neville had to be a little heelish.
Yeah.
Right, so, but who's really the heel in this? Because if they give her the heel heat, she won't survive that.
Yeah.
But
and what would Izzy think?
I haven't seen her at the NXT tapings.
Because they gave her her own show. On the WWE Network. Yeah. Like, give us a show on the WWE Network. I'm sorry.
You, me, and Adam for what culture, WWE?
Oh, man.
I'm looking at you, Adam. We really do want you for WWE creative.
Oh, but, man.
Adam Pacitti's cool, but Blompier's cool.
Blompier.
he's a nice guy. Have you seen his videos? They're great.
Nice. Oh, yeah, yeah, I haven't. I gotta.
But besides that, the NXT championship picture, I think Finn wants to stay there. I think Finn is happy, and I think that's a problem.
You know what sucks? It's like, and I hate to say it like this, but away from after Bayley won the title from Sasha Banks, there hasn't really been, like, their rematch was really good. It wasn't as good as the original. It was a really good match. It was a super solid match. It was a fitting main event for any promotion. But the thing is, she hasn't had any other moments to, like, really drill home the fact that she is, like, the queen bitch of, like, the NXT women's division. And I don't think Balor has had that moment where it's like, yeah, he's the champion. So it's like he beat Owens, but it's like he beat Owens off the skin of his ass. You know? And it's like he hasn't dominated anybody. I want to see heel Balor.
Heel Balor is a main roster thing.
It's like I want to see the Balor Club. I want to see Don Gallows and Anderson come and have his back. And then I want to see them go to the main roster and join up with Styles and stuff like that. I want to see that. I don't know if it's going to happen. But it's like, I really don't like Finn Balor.
I really think if it does happen, it'll be on par with NWO.
Yeah, I agree.
They really do have to run roughshod.
Because, I mean, think about it.
I don't want them all with the titles.
What is the Bullet Club? It's kind of like a fucking toned down NWO when you think about it.
Yeah, but remember the NWO was just another version of what already happened in New Japan Pro.
Yes, yes.
You know, so, but the Bullet Club was, they're all outsiders.
Yes.
They're all gaijin.
Yes.
So if they come in from NXT over, he should just show up. And it's probably going to happen the night after Mania, but because that's just the way it works.
Yeah,
and honestly, if that happens, Baron Corbin has to win the title.
I agree. Have you watched Breaking Ground at all?
I do, and I like the. See, this is why are you building me up with such goodwill towards all these people, and then you wasted with Tyler Breeze on the main roster because Vince gave up on him. Fuck you, dude.
They never even gave him a chance.
The guy is good.
Yeah,
he would come in with his entrance music playing, and he's already in the ring. His entrance is everything. His entrance is why you hate him.
Yep,
but he needs to be more combative with the audience. I think that would never cut a promo, and I really think he needs to be more combative with the audience.
And right? They had him with Summer Rae. It's like, he's the gorgeous one. He don't need a bitch. He's gorgeous. He don't need a fucking bitch. Like, you know, that's like part of his gimmick. You know, and then it's like Summer Rae has a face like a fucking ostrich in heat. It's just disgusting. You know, it's like if you were going to put him with somebody, bring up somebody that we haven't seen any before. Summer Rae, I like Summer Rae. I'm sorry about the ostrich comment, Summer. But like, it's like...
Come on, she's a Long Island girl.
Put somebody that we haven't seen with her. Summer Rae gets bounced around from every douchebag, from Rusev to Fandango to this one to that one. The Miz, it's like, enough. No, no. They didn't even try with Tyler Breeze, man. It's just bullshit. Because he's capable of going out there and having great matches with anybody.
Yeah.
And I like that they had him with Ziggler, but then it's like there's no promo, there's no story to build. It's like, Vince, you're 70, man. Put it the fuck down. Put it the fuck down and go somewhere else.
But what gets me about Breaking Ground is now you see everything that he's done.
Yep.
And you've seen him come to his zenith, which is getting called up, just to fall back down in line.
Yep.
And I understand Vince likes doing that, breaking people down.
But well, he did it with, look who he's done it with. He did it with Sheamus, and it worked. Like, Sheamus is still back, is back up at the top of the card. He did it to Ted DiBiase Jr., and it just killed him.
Hold on a sec. But Sheamus doesn't I'm going to say this. I don't think he deserves to be at the top of the card. He's a hard worker. He's hard-hitting. He's got Vince's look. I understand.
He's
a solid Intercontinental champion.
Yes, I agree. But they did the same thing they did with him that they did with Jack Swagger, that you push the guy to the top, and then it's like you push him back down, and then you look to see like where he settles. And it's like, poor Jack Swagger fucking settled at the bottom of the card, but now he's already got the former world champion. It's like, no.
No, because then that championship means nothing.
Yes.
Because these guys lose.
And that's why they had to combine the titles, because now it's like, fucking, that world title meant dick, because they put it on everybody.
Mm. Well, if they would have let Ziggler run with it, I think they could have still held it off.
When you think about, like, what a shitty 2015 somebody had. Like, Ziggler, after Survivor Series last year...
Ziggler and Sheamus have wrestled almost 1,000 matches in 2015.
Yep.
So, more than that, right? And Ziggler has lost almost half of them. What's the point, dude? Go home and sit down. If I was him, I'd be like, JR said it. Let me sit down for 6 months.
Yep.
Let me disappear for 6 months. Because people don't care.
I would even tell the WWE, like, the WWE needs to, like, this is the thing, with the way the internet is now and stuff, the WWE needs to, like, take extra care of, like, their performers in a way, where sometimes it's, like, it's not necessarily about the money, it's about being treated properly, and it's, like, if I was Ziggler, I would go, listen, this is what I want to do some Brian Pillman shit with you, okay, I want to stay on contract with you guys, you cut my salary in half. Let me go wrestle out in the indies, and all I'm going to do is talk shit about you guys. And then what happens is, whenever you feel that, like, the time is right for me to come back, like, 3-4 months from now, I'll just show up, and I'll still talk a ton of shit. I'll talk Scott Steiner-esque level shit, and then you bring me back in a storyline, and I guarantee you there'll be a fucking ton of heat, and people will be interested in it.
And there's money. Because it's about the bottom line is money.
He's such a good wrestler, and it's like, I hate to see, like, he gets, they rated him, like, most overrated wrestler of the year. Like, I think What Culture did it, and I'm like, what? Like, are you fucking serious? It's that he's in your face way too much. Like, we see way too much Dolph Ziggler.
Yeah.
And that's not his fault, that's creative's fault. Because he's not supposed to, you ever see the South Park movie?
Yeah.
When it's like Operation Get Behind the Darkies.
Yeah.
And it's like the war begins, so you just throw these guys out. That's what the WWE does to Dolph Ziggler. There's a war and they throw him out on the front line. No, motherfucker. He should be in the upper middle part of the card at his worst and having 25-minute fucking matches with people like Kevin Owens, Cesaro, and people like that for the Intercontinental and the U.S. title. And eventually, like, he's already won the world title already. He could be a solid world champion if used properly. But, I don't know. They don't fucking get, like, what they have. The same thing, too, and I hate to say it, it's like, why is The Miz languishing in the middle of the fucking bottom part of the card? And it's like, I love Kalisto, but it's like, I don't see him as a United States champion.
But hold on. This is where we differ,
uh-huh.
Right? But we'll get to that conversation in a moment,
mm-hmm.
Right? Because we still have to finish off. Hugh Balor would work, but not in NXT.
Yeah.
It's too open.
You're right.
That really is a main roster thing to do. Mm-hmm. And I don't think he'll get any heat on the main roster. I think people are waiting for him. But what I would do, which is something that we were discussing before we started recording, is have Taker come. Well, I guess I won't be a Mania because no one's man enough to become my demon. And then just have Badass Music play.
Yeah.
Right? And just have him come out. Right? No face paint, nothing. His little suit and the NXT Championship belt, right? And then have Taker just look at him and be like, who are you, boy? You know? And he's like, listen, old man.
Yeah.
And then take a deep breath. I'm here to tell you that I'm the new demon of the WWE. Right? And that match will sell. You need 100,000 people. Why don't you take the shot?
Oh, but see, that's the thing, though. It's like, that's such a good idea and so out of the box that they wouldn't do it. It was like the same thing. I wrote an article for Blasting News on Sunday, and it was like 5 bold predictions, and I went completely 0-for-5. You know why? Because there were 5 fucking great ideas that they would never do. So, like, one of them was, like, Lesnar would be eliminated early and completely screwed by the Authority. So that was kind of, like, partially true. But the thing was, the last one I wrote was that Styles should win the world title. That would be a fucking great idea. The internet would go nuts if that would have happened.
But that crowd wouldn't cheer for Roman.
Yep. They chanted for Styles the entire match.
Yeah, and as soon as it stopped, it turned heel again.
Yep.
They had to change the finish of the Rumble, but that's something we'll talk about.
Yeah.
Right. But I think that's how you move Finn Balor up. He wins at WrestleMania. I'm sorry, Undertaker. You need to take another loss. He wins at WrestleMania. And then he puts his hand on Taker's chest, and he literally becomes a demon. I don't know. Give me some pyro. Give me something. Give me smoke in the ring. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, just like pile up. I know it's outdoors. They have a roof, right? Fill the ring with as much smoke as possible, right? Then have him just run or get underneath the ring and just have the Undertaker laid out. And then he gets up and he does this little thing where he can't move around the ring because he can't take a bump anymore. And he walks out into the sunset without any power. No music, nothing. He just leaves. And Balor is the new spooky dude.
I'm down with it.
Right. But going on from there, I really do hope I think it's Baron's time. His time on Breaking Ground has shown me that he has worked hard and he has gotten a lot better in the ring. His mic work is still necessary, but that's between him and Apollo Crews to work off each other.
How do you feel about Apollo Crews?
I like his ability, but he's just too nice of a guy.
I agree.
And that's going to hurt him.
You know what he reminds me of? He reminds me of Ron Simmons when Ron Simmons was WWE World Heavyweight Champion. Just like a great athlete, you want to like him. You have no reason not to like him, but you don't love him.
Yeah. Yeah. And the problem is he needs to get a little bit of – he needs more babyface. People just like him.
Yeah.
Because he's phenomenal.
Mm-hmm.
Right? But it's just, you know, it is what it is.
I feel like he doesn't have a finisher yet either.
With that sweetness.
I agree. I don't know how I feel about that powerbomb as his finisher. I like it. I think it's a good setup move. Mm-hmm. But I don't know if it's a finisher. I don't think he has a finisher, like, at all.
His standing moonsault is his finisher.
Yeah. But I don't know. I don't know how I feel about that.
But I honestly think he does need a better knockout finisher. And I think he needs a submission.
I agree.
Just like a surprise submission. You know, like Sami Zayn has the Koji Clutch?
Yes.
You know, and it comes on at the weirdest times, and that's what you need.
Yep.
Because, like Baron Corbin, the end of day comes whenever.
Yep. And I love that. See, like, they were smart with Corbin because it's like, even the deep six, that, he won a match last week with that maneuver. And it's not as deadly as the end of days, but it's still something that could kind of just catch you completely off guard, you know?
Yeah.
So...
On to the Royal Rumble.
All right, so what do you think?
Initial thoughts on the show as a whole.
I love the card. I thought the card leading up to it was really good. I thought the finish of the Divas match was awful. I love that Sasha Banks came in, and you know how I feel about Sasha, but it was like the interaction between her and Charlotte felt so phony and fake. Before, like, you know, Charlotte went, before Sasha went, you know, and took her out. The Owens and Ambrose, if those guys were in a world title program, they would be even better than they are now. Like, they're able to tell stories in the ring and have set such a good back and forth. That was a really fun match.
Can I ask you, since it was the last man standing match to open the show, I guess they figured a swim or flop right now.
Yeah.
Right, because last man standing matches, the last one was Rusev and John Cena.
Yep.
It was an I Quit match. Right, but it's the same concept.
Yeah.
Right. Those guys took, and it wasn't a bad match, Rusev-Cena match. It wasn't a bad match.
Mm-hmm.
They took each other to the limit, but these guys took each other to the limit in the safest way possible.
Yes. Yes.
Right. Even though he was wearing a chair necklace at one point.
Yeah, which
right?
is great.
These guys worked extremely stiff. At one point, if you saw Owen's face, it was bruised and it was, you know, it was swollen. And Ambrose was swollen too, which
yep.
made them coming back in the Rumble even more spectacular.
I agree.
But I think the ferocity of this feud just goes to show that the Intercontinental Championship does mean something.
It does. Like, you know what? Ambrose has done a really good job, and Owens before him have done a really good job of making that title mean something again. It doesn't mean nearly as much as it used to, and it doesn't mean as much as the United States title meant when Cena was champion, but it's getting there. You know? So.
But I like the match. I love the finish. You know, make your bed, now sleep in it.
Yep.
Right?
It was great.
And I just thought these guys, they've been going at it for months, and I'm not tired of it.
I agree.
What's the difference? What's the difference between me seeing this almost every week and me going to this last man standing match and going, here we go again?
Yep.
Right? But I'm honestly excited about it. Why?
Because they're great in the ring together. They have chemistry.
Is it that they're great in the ring, or is it that they care?
It's that, too. Well, see, that's the thing, too. It's like, Ambrose has never called in a match since I've seen him in WWE. And Owens, that's one of the reasons why nobody liked him in the indies. That's why Cornette had issues with him and said that he would never get in the WWE. Because Owens likes spots. Owens likes the majesticness, the fucking... He likes to tell stories. He likes balls to the wall all the time. And people have told him, you know, you got to calm it down. You got to slow it down. Even like his first match, they didn't want him to do the cannonball in the corner. They didn't want him to do all this shit. And Triple H, to his credit, he's a fucking genius. He goes, you know what? Don't listen to anybody. Go out and have the match that you know that you can have. And that's why I think Owens has been as good as he's been since he's been here. Because he knows that he has the support of Triple H and he can go out and have the matches that he deserves to. You know? And that the fans deserve. You know?
But what was... You heard what Triple H said on Breaking Down. Go out there and do it and I can rein you in.
Yeah.
Don't go and make me have to force you to do something.
Yep, I agree.
And that's why I think Owens is looking a lot better. My mother, I've already said on the podcast, this is how I measure, one, how good you are, and one, how bad you are. She fucking hates the dude. She, like, legit, like, in the garden, his match came on, and even though it was Chris Jericho, she got up and went to go use the bathroom.
Oh, my God.
Right?
That's great.
And she was, like, upset, right?
Great.
And the guy behind me goes, what's the matter? And I'm like, she fucking hates Kevin Owens. And the girl goes, legit? I go, she says he smells.
Oh, my God.
And I go, what makes you think that?
That's great.
And it's like, he doesn't shave his underarms, like he's a pig.
I love your mother.
Fuck him. And he wears shorts. And he wears shorts and a shirt with something underneath. I go, you're not telling me reasons why. You're telling me what he looks like.
Oh,
right.
My God.
And I go, that's exactly what Vince McMahon sees.
Yes.
Right. But what he doesn't see is the effort that he puts into all his matches.
Yeah.
Right, which is why, you know, I'm excited about him. And he's gone out there and he hasn't phoned anything in. And even the shitty matches with Rusev, the tag matches, would happen at the end of all these Raw and SmackDowns.
Yeah.
Right. And it's just something that I see Kevin Owens always tries. And that, you know, it helps that he kind of looks like me. Right. And I like him a lot more for it. But, He's something to watch, and I think even if he lingers in Intercontinental title picture, I think it would be beneficial. But I would have put him, I would have put more faith in him. I would have given him the title.
I agree. I mean, I would love to see an Owens-Lesnar match eventually.
The summer of Owens, I think it should have been.
I think he could go with anybody. And I think, like, he was able to make Cena look so good in their matches. But at the same time, too, he was able to come out and look...
I went back and I saw some of those matches.
Yeah.
Did he make Cena look good, or did Cena always try and everyone else didn't look anywhere near as good as him and therefore made Cena look bad?
That's true, too. You can make that. And that's the thing, too, and I'm so happy that you said that, because people always talk about the five moves of doom and stuff like that. Cena pushes a tough pace in the ring, and Cena, like, puts his ass out there every single night that he goes in there, too. He doesn't get nearly as much credit. So it's like, maybe Cena got a dance partner, you know?
Yeah.
Well, it's the same reason why Cena looks good with Lesnar. You know? It's like Lesnar, like, Cena could have the type of match with Lesnar that not a lot of people can have, because Cena is willing to dish out just as much as he's willing to take. You know?
Yeah.
Not a lot of guys like that. So.
But you know, good match, good way to open a show. Follow this up.
Yep.
Kalisto and Alberto Del Rio.
I wasn't that much of a fan of that match. It was a good match.
You want to know what I saw?
What?
I saw Alberto Del Rio with complete faith in Kalisto.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing. Kalisto's not green at all. I don't think he is.
No, he isn't. But I saw, I could see it on his face. Alberto Del Rio wants to put him over so bad.
Mm-hmm.
And I see it. Because, you know, their first match was spotty as fuck.
Yeah.
Right, it wasn't very good. The one for the tournament, remember?
Yeah.
The second match when they said, let's try it out. Let's see how people are going to react. And they gave him the U.S. Championship. Right. I thought that was a good match.
Yeah, that was
a fun
match.
Enjoyable.
Yeah.
The second match when he lost it due to outside interference.
Yeah, I could have left that match. Yeah.
But this match was good. It wasn't bad till the end. When his finisher was hit out of nowhere, right? Mm-hmm. And when Kalisto honestly took a beating, right? It was a classic little man story. And that's really all I needed.
Yeah.
And for a mid-card title, it's kind of all you need.
Yeah, I agree.
And Alberto Del Rio needs to stop that double stomp. It doesn't work, dude.
It's not even that it doesn't work. It's just like, it's really fucking dangerous, too.
Yeah.
You know, like, I'm not a fan of, like, somebody losing their career for that move. It's like a power bomb, absolutely, and I hate to say it like this, and to all the professional wrestlers that I know that are my, you know, associates, like, sources and stuff like that. Listen, I know power bombs hurt, but they look fucking great. They get me stiff every time I see a good power bomb, you know? But it's like, that fucking stomp is just, it's unnecessarily scary and dangerous. Like, and whenever Del Rio goes up there and it's a smaller guy, I kind of cringe, you know? Because there's, like, really no way to sell that in a safe way, you know? Gravity is not, like, your friend in that. Even, like Balor's double stomp from the top rope. I don't know if, like, or do people want to fucking take that move? You know, I don't think there's anybody in the WWE that wants to take that fucking move. How do you protect yourself? You put your arms up, so he steps on your arms that are still on top of your chest.
And he's a 200-something pound man coming down with velocity. So, you know, it is dangerous as fuck.
Yeah. So.
But mm-hmm. I thought, you know, U.S. I find it ironic that two Mexican men are fighting for the
U.S. title. Yeah, oh my god!
But you know what? At least it means something. It's not the level that Cena had it. But if I was Kalisto, I wouldn't bring back the challenge, but I would defend it a little bit more. Defend it against the Miz.
I agree. That was actually a good match on Raw. I was surprised.
Yeah, and it gave me what I needed.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like sometimes you want a Klondike bar, sometimes you just want some ice cream.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and sometimes the ice cream tastes just as good as the Klondike bar might have. And that's what that Miz match was. Because despite what people say, the Miz is getting better. Much better than when I saw some of his older stuff. And I just think cutting promos against each other, I think it would be interesting. But on to the tag team match.
Yes.
What did you think of the New Day, of course?
The Usos are so fucking vanilla. It's like, I'm sorry. It's like, they don't cut promos. They have some nice spots and stuff, but it's like, your finisher is a splash from the top rope. Mm-hmm. Like, what?
What gets me is this.
It's just so bland. It's so blah.
What gets me is, do people just want heels? Because they are classic babyface tag team.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think it's a problem.
Yeah, because they're like that Boy Scout face. Where it's like, we're going to do the right thing every single time because we're good. It's like, nobody gives a shit. Show us some personality, you know?
Yeah.
They tried to. They tried to give them, like, Naomi as their manager, and that shit didn't work. And it's just, they need, I would break them up, to be honest. I would break them up. I would let them both be singles wrestlers. And this is what I would do. I would let them be completely unique and one of the other. So it would be kind of like they would both have different finishers. They would both do all different sorts of things. And then, like, I would let, like, one of them win, like, a singles title or something like that. And then I would bring them back together. And then with the two completely different styles, then we see how they mix. And then let them be a fucking tag team. It's like, it doesn't matter who's in the ring because they're exactly alike. It's like, you watch the Hardy Boys. Matt was more the technician.
Yeah.
You know?
And they balanced each other.
Yes, they worked well together. It's the same thing, too, why Kofi and Big E work so well together, and why Road Dogg and Billy Gunn work so well, and even why, like, Hawk and Animal work so well. They both had different styles. They brought different things. You would not see Animal really going off the top rope that much. Animal didn't do the neck breaker that Hawk did. You know, it's like they were different. They brought something different. Jay, half the time, I don't even know who the fuck is in the ring. And then I don't care.
And then they're wearing those weird leggings, which just distracts.
It just, why should I care about the Usos? And they work their asses off in the ring. And they put on good matches. And they sell a lot. And it's like, I want to like them. But it's like, it gets to the point where it's like, we know who your father is. We know who your cousins are. That's not enough for me to love you.
Yeah, it is. And this goes to their other cousin as well.
Mm-hmm.
That's not a reason for me to like you.
Yeah.
I people like me. My cousin's an asshole. You're probably not going to like him.
Yeah.
Stop saying you're my cousin.
Yeah.
Because that's annoying. And that's why people boo you.
Yep.
The Rock could say it because people like The Rock.
Yes.
You know, and when he did it on Monday night, when he called for family, they showed up and it made sense. And those guys came out swinging. Where was that?
Yep.
Where was that edge? Where was that attitude?
Yeah, they don't have a lot of it. Like, they're very.
But it's there.
Yeah, it is. And it could be turned up. They need more promo time.
I think they need a fucking haircut.
They need
a
haircut.
I think they need to change their look.
No more paint. Like, what are you, fucking The Nightmare? Like, Danny Davis? What is this, like, fucking 1980s, like, Tennessee? Enough with the fucking stupid face paint, you know?
You know, but the New Day's still over as hell.
Yes.
Because
they're still entertaining.
And they're good in the ring.
Yes.
They're not anything to write home about.
Yep.
But, and Kofi has done none of the stuff that I remember him doing. It's like he's saving it.
It's like, because he doesn't have to do it anymore.
Yeah.
You know, it's like kind of like when Randy Orton first came up and he was doing all this shit off the top rope and stuff. And he had a conversation with Arn Anderson. And Arn Anderson's like, don't be stupid. You don't have to do that shit.
Yeah.
You can get over in a different way. Certain people have to do that shit because they can't. It's like, I love Rob Van Dam. But if Rob Van Dam doesn't go off the top rope, nobody fucking wants to see him wrestle. You know?
Sure. Yeah.
He has to do that to make a living. You know?
So
Kofi doesn't have to.
No. And honestly, their shtick is so entertaining.
Yep. They're just three assholes.
And I love it. I stop.
Mm-hmm.
I will sit there and watch it. Because it's just good.
Yeah, I agree.
It's just good. You know, and they must be, and if you see him swerve, Kofi's a really nice guy.
Yeah.
They're like that to each other.
Yep.
You know, and I don't doubt that these guys are great people outside the ring, and they're assholes inside the ring, and they cheat just enough to make me not hate them.
There's a scene in Ride Along in the new WWE show where they're going from Boston to Philadelphia, and, like, you know, Kofi grew up in Beantown, so they get to the point where, like, they want to eat something, and they go to a place that Kofi's been going to, like, his entire life, and before they go in, Kofi looks at both of them, and he goes, I like you guys a lot, but don't disrespect me, don't disrespect this place, and act like an adult. And to me, that's, like, I like that. I like that, you know what? He could be a dick on TV and joke around and wear, like, the llama penis on his forehead and stuff like that. But at the end of the day, he's a straight-ahead guy that doesn't pull any punches, you know?
Yeah.
So, it's like there's a nice balance, especially, like, too, in the ring. Like, he doesn't have to do a lot of the stuff that he used to do, but it's like we know that he can do it, and he would do it if he had to do it. So they've got, like, you nailed it. They've got, like, a really good balance in the ring. They're entertaining. They work hard in the ring. The stories that they're being allowed to tell work. It's so many things. It's like getting married or being in a relationship. You need so many things. Like, timing needs to be. Both people in the relationship have to be at the right place at the right time. They have to feel the right way at the right time. It's like creative is the same thing, too. How many guys have we seen that you're like, this guy is primed, man? Perfect example. When Alex Riley broke up with The Miz and fans were going apeshit for him for like 3 weeks, a month, creative couldn't write a story for that guy. They didn't know what the fuck to do with him. They just knew that the crowds liked him. He had a really good theme, but all the stars weren't in line, so he's fucking wasted. So it's like everything finally for the three of those guys, not even finally, because like Xavier and Big E, like they're still paying their dues, but like Kofi's been through a lot, and for everything to kind of like align the way it has for him, it's pretty damn good. So it's like I'm happy for somebody like that.
Yeah, you know, but let's see where it goes, because they can't hold on to those things forever.
No, they can't. But they'll hold on. I think they'll hold on to it through Mania.
I think they hold on to it to Enzo and Cash.
You really think Enzo and Cash are going to make the main roster as a tag team?
I think they should. And then break up.
I'm just so worried about Enzo.
You know what? He's gotten a lot better in the ring.
He has, but he just looks so brittle to me.
Well, it was Big Cass who went down.
Yeah, that's true.
So, but let's see where that goes. But on to the Divas match.
Yes.
Nothing to write home about.
No.
But a story was told.
It made me like Becky more.
Yeah. And, which was good. I think she's the Bayley of the main roster. At this moment, mm-hmm. right, until Bayley actually shows up.
Yeah.
Because the time to strike is now.
They may give Sasha the Divas title before Becky, though.
Yeah, I don't doubt it. But, you know, then you have two people chasing, which is more interesting than just you insulting me on Total Divas and I want a title shot.
When was the last time you had a competitive triple threat match for the Divas title?
At a Beast of the East. I don't know. I just said that. Because that was the last time there was a triple threat match I liked.
Yeah.
And it was Tamina Snuka. Just saying.
And
it was Tamina Snuka. It was Nikki Bella who underwent neck yep. surgery.
And Paige.
And Paige, who was out with a concussion and just recently returned to action.
Dude, is it me or have they been fucking caking her face with makeup?
I think she is. They have. And I think it's because she is not in a good way. You know, but Natalia showed up after having a broken ankle, which nobody knew about.
Yeah.
Because this is...
She's old school.
She's old school, yep. right? And people just like... People drop the left and right in WWE. It's time for you to reassess your star base.
Yep.
Because now they're starting to show their age. And Natalia is not young, but I really think she deserves another run. But she needs a little bit more edge. The look is there. I think she needs a little bit more edge.
I'm going to say this for the record for posterity, that, like, there was a time maybe before AJ got her run that, like, I was begging the WWE to, like, give Natalia a push. She's such a good worker. And I feel like if they even, like, tried to present her in the way that, like, they presented her uncle, as her saying, you know what, I'm the best that you guys have.
Why has to go and run through the division.
Yes, yes.
And then she only needs promo. Be beaten by Becky... Sasha or Charlie.
Yep.
And I'm sorry, Paige. You got to take a loss. And I know she'll take a loss to Natty, right?
Mm-hmm.
You bring Emma, make her take a loss. You bring in as many people as you can, right? And not job them out, but give them a competitive match.
Yes.
There's a difference between jobbing and building momentum.
I agree.
And a competitive match to show the strength of a person.
You know who's so... Emma's another one, man. She's so freaking good, and they just don't know what to do with her. Ugh, it sucks.
I know. But, you know, an Emma-Natty thing would work.
I agree.
Right? But she's too busy being good in NXT.
Yep. She's great in NXT, man.
Yeah. I love this evil Emma. But you know what? Honestly, you want to make her debut... She's not in any integral storyline, right?
Mm-hmm.
You have a run in after Natty's won, right? Shake her hand. This is so simple. Shake her hand and go, next week I want to fight you, right? Have Natty win that one and then have her viciously attack the ankle.
Yep.
And that's all you need. Don't break it, but just enough to set her back a little bit. Natalya takes a week off TV, right? Emma goes around parading, and she beats Brie Bella, which everyone does. But then she turns around and she beats Foxy, which people can do, but Foxy is a bit more competitive. Then she turns around and takes Becky Lynch to her limit. Natty shows up. And you see what I did there? There's two feuds there.
Yep.
There's Becky and Emma, which would be great, and there's Emma and Natty, which would be great.
Yep.
So... Pick your poison. You know, she could lose to Natty and still have another competitive match with Becky Lynch.
I don't like that the Divas division really isn't capable of having more than one feud at a time.
No, and one feud should not be based on a show.
I agree.
Breaking Ground doesn't do that with NXT.
Mm-hmm.
Total Divas shouldn't do that with the WWE, my opinion. And on to the Royal Rumble match, Pat.
I thought it was fun.
I loved it. It didn't turn heel.
Mm-hmm.
It turned heel for a couple of minutes. Right? It didn't turn heel. People booed. People cheered. People popped. And they had to carefully orchestrate the ending.
Yeah, talk about that a little bit, because I'm sure some people don't know.
But we'll get to it. But number one, Roman Reigns, because it's one versus all. Yeah, that t-shirt sold. So they slapped it on everything, right? And he came in number one, fixed, of course, because he's Stone Cold Steve Austin without the charisma.
Oof.
Right?
Yeah.
And number two was Chris Jericho, right?
Yeah.
And I go, why would you? Maybe they're trying to make Roman look good. Right.
And Jericho has no problem putting people over either.
And there's no reason Chris Jericho should have lasted as long as he did.
Yeah.
In my opinion. I'm sorry, Chris. I really like your podcast and everything else. But, dude, you're there to put people over at this time.
Yeah.
Right? And you do it very well.
Oh, yeah. I agree.
And he does it unselfishly.
Yep.
Which is the more important part. But him and Roman, they didn't really lock up in something that I liked. You know, it was like a missed 90 seconds for Jericho to make him shine a little bit, only to have, you know, who showed up as number three?
Styles.
AJ Styles. And then they wouldn't show his Titantron.
Yeah,
Why would you not? It's such a great Titantron.
Yeah.
Where
I agree.
It says, I am phenomenal. And the crowd went nuts.
His music is gangsta too, man.
It is. It's an old DMX song.
Yep.
Right? The crowd went nuts. For a man, he was the one that got away, and they finally caught him in the net.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yep.
And he was a little limpy, right? And he's a big guy. He got in there. He is not that big.
Yeah, I agree. You know what it is? That was one of the things I told somebody. I'm like, I didn't think he was going to be that small. And it's just, you know what it is? It's like everyone in TNA is fucking tiny.
But he got in there. And it was fun,
yep.
And I marked out.
He sold a lot.
He did, but that's what he does.
Yeah.
He's not afraid to make people look strong.
Yeah.
Because it makes you look strong.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you could hit back just as hard, and that's what he did with Roman for a little bit, right? They mm-hmm. looked good together.
Oh, yeah, right? I agree.
And but when Roman hit that Samoan drop on AJ Styles, people booed.
Yep.
And was it his popularity, or was it Roman losing his goodwill with the public?
I don't think Roman really has goodwill. I think women love him, and I think little kids love him. And I think in terms of, like, your stereotypical female fan and your stereotypical kid fan, they're idiots. I'm sorry.
But, you know, in his credit, everyone that went after AJ Styles got booed.
Oh, yeah. Well, look at where they were, too.
Yeah.
They were in AJ Styles country.
But what gets me the most is he looked good. He didn't wear his gaudy pants.
Uh-huh.
He didn't wear his gaudy gloves. Right.
Uh-huh.
He just came in like a simple guy.
He needs a haircut, though, man.
I don't know. I think it looks good on him.
Right? Or, like, the part needs to change. It just looks like shit.
He looks like a pretty boy. That's why you don't like
him. Not even like a pretty boy. It's just like a, like, it just looks bad. Like, it looks like it's unkempt.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's just, he needs to do something with it.
Well, number four came in, and I forgot who it was, but the middle of the Rumble filled in pretty quickly.
Oh, yeah.
Right? And you had Goldust. You didn't have any surprises.
That's the one thing I would have changed. I would have had maybe like one or two surprises.
But I liked it because everyone got to work.
Yes.
And not at the, you know, the surprises didn't come at the expense of people like Titus O'Neil, who actually got in a few shots.
Yeah.
And, you know, and got to show up in his home country.
Everybody did. Everyone got that. You're right though. Like, everyone kind of had an opportunity to like hit a couple of maneuvers. Like, even like Axel took out AJ Styles like a really like vicious like elbow and stuff, and I was like, oh shit, I didn't expect that, you know.
The middle of the Rumble I thought was good.
Mm-hmm.
It was solid, and it did what it needed to do. When Big Show and Kane showed up, they didn't just run roughshod over people.
Yeah, I agree.
And I thought that was essential. In that how they were booked last year really took the wind out of that Rumble, and I thought. A couple eliminations, you know, Braun Strowman showing up and just taking out Big Show and Kane, I thought was essential to building him as a heel. He needs to work on his cardio. It looks like he's going to pass out from a heart attack one day. No, I mean, look at his face. He does that. He does that bear hold, and it puts just as much pressure in order for him to keep that guy up there safely. Right, and I'm sure he's trying not to hurt someone. He needs to trim up a little bit.
He's not that good.
No, because he's all power.
Yeah.
Right, but what they did in the Rumble is they showed that he was all power.
Yeah.
Luke Harper, when the Wyatt family started to fill in, I thought it was interesting because I thought it was going to be five. And then you would have to have an alliance. And alliances in the Rumbles are always fun. Right, at least for me.
Yeah.
Right, and I thought, you know, Bray Wyatt running roughshod. I go, this really could be Bray Wyatt's shot at the title, and I wouldn't be upset about it.
No, I wouldn't have been upset if he won either. It would have been like a nice change of pace. It would have been different, you know.
Yeah, and it wasn't safe, and it was something, but it wouldn't sell out AT&T Stadium.
Yeah,
you have to walk away from this saying, how do I fill in 100,000 people.
See, but the thing is, it's like, this is the WWE's fault. Why couldn't somebody win the Rumble and win the belt and then have somebody else win the title leading up to that? Why do we have to know who's wrestling at WrestleMania for the title for 3 months?
Yeah.
It's just this old way of doing things that they've done it for so long. Why can't you know a month before?
You know? Technically, you will know a month before because Fastlane main event decides the opponent.
Exactly. And you know what? I'm happy, too, that they're kind of having this at Fastlane because at least, like, it makes that pay-per-view, like, watchable.
But it's just replaying what you did last year.
True. Oh, yeah, when they had Daniel Bryan versus Roman Reigns.
Yeah, you're right. And I know that was an audible.
Yeah.
And they were trying to get Reigns over. But that wasn't the way you were going to do it. And this is still not the way you're going to do it.
I still can't believe Roman Reigns beat Daniel Bryan clean. Like, get the fuck out of here. Like, the fuck out of here.
Regardless of that, right? Yeah. When they started finally to get some eliminations and then were eliminating themselves, I go, okay, Bray's in it. AJ's in it. Oh, wait a minute. Here goes AJ Styles.
Yeah.
Right? And I'm going, my God. it's gonna turn heel. And for a second, it turned heel, right? And I was like, Elise is not Roman. Elise is Kevin Owens.
Yes.
Because that's a feud for the Intercontinental Championship that I think would work. So, and I think a three-way between those three will be phenomenal.
See, they just...
pun intended.
You're funny. they just, again, they ruin stuff by pushing people, like, entirely too fast. And I'm like, I think it worked in the case of Rollins. Absolutely, because he's cut from a different cloth. And I feel like they're doing Ambrose and Owens proper by having them wrestle for those other titles. But it's like, the fact that Reigns was able to like win the world title without like really paying his dues.
Twice.
So it's like, look at Cena. Like, Cena won the U.S. title at the United States title at WrestleMania. He really worked his way up the... off the card before
was he an IC champ?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure he was.
I think we should check that, because I don't ever remember them mentioning him. That's like one title he completely glosses over.
I think he won it at one point. Hold on, John Cena.
Was it the Oval Belt?
Yeah, I think so.
Oh, that's why no one remembers it. Because it was the Rock's belt. That was one design that lingered for a while.
I like that belt, but I like the white one better, the one that,
I like it with the black trim, but that's because of Macho Man. Right. And Razor Ramon. But, regardless, I think,
no, he's never won the Intercontinental title.
See, that's weird to me. At the number two title, you think John Cena should have won it, so he doesn't have a Grand Slam.
Yep.
That's interesting to me, at least.
But the thing is, he won the U.S. title a ton of times, so...
Yeah, but that, you know, you can't just stack titles together and make it another title, you
know? No, I know, but he's won a secondary singles title, you know?
Yeah. But I think the Rumble did its job with that. It established more than one story.
I agree.
You know, but the big story is Roman Reigns, as much as people may or may not like him. And he's working to get better.
He is.
But it's...
It's not enough.
It's not enough for me and you. But like you said, you know, we look at the business very differently. And we look at it through a more critical lens. And that's why some people don't understand why I feel the way I feel and they feel the way they feel. But very intently, he was going to eliminate Triple H. He got booed.
Oh, yeah.
And they had to. And then he got carted off for half the Rumble. That Chris Jericho, for some reason, was still in.
Mm-hmm.
Why? Why tease us with a number two winning? You know what I mean?
I don't think they think that way, which is sad. You know, like the fucked up part of all of this is, I think we think deeper about this stuff than they do.
Because it's not something we do every day.
Yeah.
You know, it's something they do every day.
But that's the reason why they should think so deeply about it. You know, and that's the reason why they. I don't know, man. They go to work every day, and it's like they're putting these shows together, and it's like, why wouldn't you want to shock the audience? Why wouldn't you want to... Every show, they should say to themselves, you know what? We need to create at least one moment where, like, everyone goes, oh, shit, I didn't expect that to happen.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't have to be a title changing hands. And it doesn't have to be a return, a guest or something. It just has to be something different. It could be something like, dude, Owens can do a 450. Owens can do a shooting star press.
Yeah.
You know?
Very well, too.
If you have that be like something he does on a rare occasion, you know? Or like have somebody try something different, you know? Maybe have like Dolph Ziggler unveil like a new finisher or something like that. Maybe have Charlotte Flair do the natural selection. I don't think she's ever done that in a WWE ring. She's done it.
She did it on Monday night.
Oh, yeah, you're right, at the end of the match. But see, that's what I'm talking about. That was cool. But they don't do that nearly as often as they should. A lot of time, it's just like lather, rinse, repeat, and it's like, if I have to go take a shit during a match, I don't even care anymore. Dude, in like 97, 98, 99, or like in TNA in like 2005, 2006, I used to hate to leave. When like Christopher Daniels and like AJ Styles were having a match, or like again during like the Attitude Era, I used to love to watch these matches because anything could happen. Mm-hmm. It just doesn't happen anymore.
Well, all I know is they went with a fairly safe finish.
They did,
which was Triple H winning, but that wasn't the original intended finish. The original intention was for Triple H to finish Roman last. But they didn't want the crowd cheering for Triple H, which didn't work because they cheered anyway. So they threw Roman out, and then they said, okay, Dean will have enough sympathy that they won't cheer for Triple H.
And they still cheered for Triple H. Anyway.
And they still cheered for Triple H.
It didn't help that Triple H was crotch shopping either. That let them.
No, it didn't.
Yeah.
It's like, at what point do you go, whoa, what are you doing? That's DX. You can't do that. People like that. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I was half expecting, I swear to God, when he started crotch shopping, I'm like, it would make perfect sense
for like Ambrose to throw him over.
Or Ambrose to like shake his hand and throw himself out. And then have them start like another version of DX with like him and Ambrose.
Oh my God. Don't even get started on that. Because that would just be weird.
You think so?
Yeah, it would, because I think Ambrose has to be Austin.
Yeah,
I think Ambrose has to be Austin, and not in the same way. Ambrose could be unstable and likable and everything else, but right now he's in a position Austin was when he took the title off Owen Hart.
Yeah,
right. And mm-hmm. and this is the slow build that I think Roman doesn't have, which is Rocky was an IC champ as a face, and people hated him. He turned heel, and people loved him. You got the big belt. And people still don't like you as a face, and you don't know if they'll like you as a heel because they're too afraid to take a chance on you.
Yeah, like, but and that's the thing, though. I can't even imagine Roman as a heel. Because, like, the Shield wasn't necessarily bad.
But what gets me is they don't have enough faith in you to be a heel.
Yep.
That's what people don't see. Oh, no, there's too many heels. I go, yeah, but you could turn Owen's face.
Do you remember the story with Chris Jericho when WCW told him that he was turning heel?
Mm-hmm.
And he was just like, thank God, like, I can't wait. And that's somebody that's, like, confident in themselves. And that's somebody that you know is going to succeed. I don't think Reigns has that type of confidence in himself.
No, because it's my family this, my family that. Stop.
Yep.
Stop. You know?
Mm-hmm.
My uncle's a doctor. I don't go around giving medical advice. You know what I mean? And I know that's not what he's doing.
Yeah.
But when you're in the same line of work like that, right, and your dad was as prolific as he was with the Wild Samoans, and your cousin is as prolific as he is, and Nia Jax is there, and the Usos are multi-time tag team champs, I go, you got a lot to show up to, kid.
Yeah.
Even Rikishi was someone.
Oh, yeah.
And I don't, but you forget, Rikishi was languishing for so long.
Oh, yeah. Everywhere.
Rosie didn't make it.
Yep.
Right? So, Umaga was never as big as he could have been.
Mm-hmm.
So, what makes you special? And that's something I haven't seen. And, you know, there's a video of him telling the crowd that it's R2's birthday. And I go, I like that Roman Reigns. Where is he in the ring?
Yeah.
Where is he? Why can't I hear who he really is?
R-Truth.
Yeah.
I love him. Dude, he pulled out the ladder at Royal Rumble. I was peed.
And everyone just looked at him.
I was thinking so hard of, like, what kind of meme to write. And I'm like, hey, you know what? Fuck it. I'm just going to watch it and enjoy it.
But what gets me is don't ride the coattails of your family.
Yeah.
Bret Hart didn't do it. Owen Hart didn't do it. And those are some of the greats.
Yeah.
You know.
The Rock didn't do it.
The Rock didn't do it. He did it himself.
Yeah.
He did. Yeah, he tried to do it. Oh, I'm the grandson of Great Chief Peter Maivia and the son of Rocky Johnson.
And I don't even think he wanted to do it, though. I think that's what the WWE creative thought that he needed to do to become identifiable with an audience. Exactly. When they said, you're just The Rock, he was like, yes, thank fucking God, you know?
And you can't teach it.
Yep, can't teach that.
And that's where I think if Roman's going to be something, he's got to do it on his own.
Yep.
He's got to go, Vince, let me go try something.
He needs a real gimmick, too. He needs his own. He's still Roman Reigns from The Shield.
Exactly. And that's why every time I see him get close to the belt, I cringe. And I understand that kids cock their wrist and everything else. But I can't.
You said cock.
I did. but the finish was at least enjoyable. It didn't shake anything up. That match isn't a world championship match, in my opinion.
No, it's not.
That's a second to last, third to last match.
Yep.
Right? The IC title should be the second to last match, and I think that's going to be like a curtain jerker. And it shouldn't be, because it should be the U.S. title match in WrestleMania, or it should be a mid-card feud. Mid-card feuds should fill out your card so that guys don't have to go half an hour every time.
Yeah, I agree.
You know, but they built a good solid foundation to go into Fastlane, and the Monday Night Raw after it was at least enjoyable. That promo cut by Triple H, where has that been in 2015?
Yeah, it wasn't a 20-hour promo like we're used to with Triple H.
And it was good, and it was forceful. And I think he honestly felt that way.
Oh, yeah. And you know he feels that way, because look at the situation the promotion's in. They have nobody to be champion. That the fact that, like, they have to drag his ass out of the boardroom because none of these fucking little kids want to step up and grab a brass ring.
I know people that want to step up and grab the brass ring, and then they burn themselves out.
Yep, or creative don't know how to write for them. It's both of them. It's like what we talked about. It's timing. It's either you have the guy want to do it, and then there's just not a story for them. There's no storyline for them. So it's like, it sucks, man. It's just a shitty business in terms of, like, politics and... Ugh.
What gets me the most is, when he said, you think you deserve it, but this is something that you have to earn. I said to myself when he said that, I go, there's a tinge of truth, and I think he honestly feels that way about Roman.
Yep, I agree.
And I don't know if because, you know, the way he treats the NXT people, the people that got the championships deserve it.
Oh, yeah.
Including Dash and Dawson.
Oh, yeah.
For so long, they worked as jobbers, and they worked as glorified, you know, glorified jobbers because they were putting good performances. But everyone that pays their due long enough gets rewarded at NXT.
Yeah, it was like Blake and Murphy, same thing.
Yeah, and I honestly think that he's starting to see the forest from the trees, but Vince won't let it go.
I said this to somebody the other day that, like, NXT should be like an hour and a half, and then I would never have to ever watch Raw. And that half hour would be like one more promo, mm-hmm. one more vignette, and one more match. That's all you would have to do.
But why was this Raw so much better?
Because I just think it was paced better. I think
and you have wrestlers wrestling.
Yes.
You have AJ Styles and Chris Jericho. Simple promo to set up the match.
Very good match.
That was a match that Vince booked.
Yes.
All right? And they got in there and they worked. Sloppy finish.
Yes.
Right, yeah. Sloppy finish.
Like Styles didn't kick out of that.
Yeah, but honestly, because I think he felt that he didn't deserve to kick out of that.
Yeah.
You know, despite whatever finish they talked to, I think Styles is going to take the pin. You know, because you make your debut, you debut and you go out on your back.
Yeah.
Right? I think Styles, you know, is the old school guy. Mm-hmm. Right? He was good. The referee had to stop, go no two. Right? And then Styles took the pin. He hasn't hit his finisher yet.
Yeah, why won't he hit the Styles Clash? I don't understand what's going on.
I don't know. I guess you should watch Thursday Night SmackDown. Maybe it'll show up there.
Maybe.
But, you know, that was a good match. And it interrupted the flow. And the promos didn't come at the top of the hour. It came towards the end of the other hour, mm-hmm. which I thought was good because then next hour could premiere with an actual match, Kalisto and Miz, and you had Becky and Charlotte, and you had Becky, you know, and Natalya Page versus...
That was filler. That was a disaster.
But... It was filler that wasn't bad. You know, it wasn't like...
They're trying to get Natty back in the mix, and it's just like, I don't know. I feel like the way they did it there kind of just felt flat.
Just earlier in the podcast, you could hear the perfect way to bring Natty back, but it requires the cost of Becky Lynch.
Yep.
You know, and that's something that they're going to do anyway since Sasha Banks is back. Because
Becky's not ready.
Again, with the tag team, to decide who decides... On a tag team match, who goes to the main event of Fastlane, right? The match was good. It wasn't great. I've seen it before. Why does this turn your opinion in their favor to put them in a triple threat against Brock Lesnar?
And then why doesn't Brock Lesnar have to wrestle on Raw and he's in the match?
Well, that's because he's Brock Lesnar.
I know, but...
Anyone with their head screwed on straight knows Brock Lesnar goes and then two other people show up.
Yeah.
But,
just would have been nice for him to come out and, like, say something about, like, he didn't even address what happened at Royal Rumble. Heyman wasn't out to address what happened at Royal Rumble.
No, and that's something, if that Bray Lesnar feud has to go on, they have to start talking to each other now. You have 70 days.
Yep.
You have you have probably like 68 days, but still, you have 68 days to make this work, and it'll be fine. Two good talkers against each other, that feud in good hands. I really wish it was Lesnar-Owens, but that's what we got. But I honestly feel that this bromance really does have to end. And not in a heel turn, but as two faces going their separate ways. Because for too long, Roman has been protected by Seth, and Roman has been protected by Dean. And I think, honestly, he has to take a beating from Brock Lesnar, right, and lose his opportunity because of Dean Ambrose and start a program that way.
That makes a lot of sense.
And not as you know, it's like, listen, you cost me, bro. And not in a confrontational way, but it's like, I need to know that I could beat you. So that what you cost me wasn't something that I couldn't get on my own.
Yep.
A matter of respect.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't hurt either of them, right? Because Brock Lesnar is Brock Lesnar. These guys aren't going to beat him.
Oh, yeah.
But yeah. Somehow Roman is going to find a win because Dean is going to take the pin for him. And that's called protecting your friend.
And that's the thing, though, too. It's like... I love Triple H Brock Lesnar matches. They're really stiff. They're a lot of fun, but I don't think anybody wants to see that for WrestleMania.
No, I don't. I don't, and I think it's just.
But at the same time, too, I still think that that's a better match than like Reigns versus Triple H.
Yeah, I don't think there's money there. I don't think there's enough to fill a stadium there.
Yep.
You know, I think. Does that mean WWE Heavyweight title will not be defended at Fastlane?
Nah, yeah, it's not going to be defended.
Why? It's a title.
It should be defended, but I bet you it's not. I bet my beautiful blue eyes that it won't be defended.
Yeah, but...
Don't say yeah when I say my blue eyes. No, I'm telling... It's not going to be. Who's he going to defend it against?
I don't know. The two guys he can are just lingering in a feud that shouldn't be there.
Yep.
He has to defend it against Reigns and win it, is what he should have done.
Yeah.
Right, to push Reigns into the main event, right, and then have somebody else come in. I don't care.
There's
no reason AJ Styles shouldn't be in that picture. I know he's the new guy, but you had the chance with Kevin Owens and Bray Wyatt, and it would have sold.
Yeah.
Oh, shit. WWE, why do we care so much about you?
Because it's fun.
So, any thoughts on these new batch of programming?
I still think something's missing.
What do you think's missing?
Like you said, there's not going to be no world title defense at Fastlane. That's one. There won't be any
intercontinental title
defense. There's not going to be any intercontinental. Yeah. Unless Ambrose loses the title before...
Yeah, but you don't take it off him unless you're willing to put the other one on him.
Yep. I agree. So now it's like, what makes up Fastlane?
I don't know.
I'm not over on Kalisto being U.S. champion. I'm sorry. Not yet, at least. And I love the Selena Del Sol. That's Ultimo Dragon's old finisher when he was in the WWE. It's like Del Rio is like he's like not world champion material, but and he's too good to be United States champion.
Yeah, but then you don't put him against Swagger, but you have to enter him into a mid-card feud that will sell. And this is where the cards are weak.
Yep.
You know, you don't have championships now, so your card has to sell itself. So you have to have two Divas matches, give them 10 minutes each, right? So you start with 20 minutes, you have a pre-show match full of the social outcasts, which are filling their jobs, job squad, I'm looking at you.
Yes.
Right? And yes. So, you know, they're doing their jobs. They're filling out the top of the card, which is weaker matches to stronger matches. And I'm just saying, it's like, what do you have? What do you have? You gotta, the League of Nations isn't working for me.
It's not.
Break them up and have Sheamus feud with Del Rio. I think it might be a good match. You know, or Rusev or Del Rio versus Wade Barrett. You know, have them cost him a match and have it begin to break down in the League of Nations.
Yeah, they're not doing anything with Wade Barrett. And the same thing, too. Wade Barrett won King of the Ring. Whatever happened out of that? Nothing.
That used to guarantee you a title shot.
Yep.
Now nothing.
So, what are they doing with Neville? Why don't you have Neville feud with Kalisto?
For the U.S. title.
Yep.
Oddly enough, two non-Americans.
Peter, but it would be a good match. It would be a high-flying,
And that's your top of the card.
Yep.
Because now these guys are going to go pull out all the stops to impress Vince. Right?
Yep.
And it'll just be athleticism. They don't have to be heels and faces.
And then you know what you do too? You have AJ Styles fight Owens at Fastlane.
So, and that eliminates him from the IC picture for the moment.
Yep.
Right? And then you have, but then Jericho's doing nothing.
Yeah, who do you have Jericho feud with? I would even have Jericho come back on like SmackDown this week or Raw and be like, listen, AJ, nice match. You won off the skin of your ass. Show like the instant replay and be like, I don't know if you really won. How about we do this? How about a fast lane? We go 2 out of 3.
That'd be great.
You know?
And that fills out 30 minutes.
Yes.
Right. So now you have 50 minutes of programming. So you really need an hour and 45 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so you know you have the tag champs. Right, but you need to push someone that's not the Usos. So give the Ascension a run, not as the champs, but give them a dominating run.
Give them
and make
something.
Them not a joke.
I feel like you know who's a joke, and he shouldn't be Stardust. And it's like I think he should.
I think Stardust is done.
I think so too. It's sad, but it's like do something with him.
Yeah. So I mean,
and they're trying to get Goldust to like tag with R-Truth, it's kind of like, what?
Because they don't have anyone to... They realize that they don't have anyone to go against the New Day.
And it's like, I thought Goldust was retiring. Like, what's going on here?
Well, I guess, you know, his dad's passing pushed him into one last...
I mean, week. He can still wrestle.
And he looks crisper than ever.
He
sometimes.
Does. But it's enough. These people are just so oversaturated. It's like Kane. I love Kane. Kane was so good. King of consistency. You know, but it's like, enough. Big Show, again, love Big Show. He's an icon. He's a first ballot WWE Hall of Famer.
Uh-huh.
But it's like, enough.
Yeah.
You know?
So, you really do have to fill out that card with more substance. And that means more time on Raw for other people. And maybe it's coming. Maybe SmackDown, with its low ratings, could possibly be the place where things happen. That IC title belongs on SmackDown, like Daniel Bryan was trying to make it.
Yep. You know what they should do? Speaking of Daniel Bryan, listen, I understand that they don't want to clear him and stuff, but what's the worst thing that could possibly happen?
All right. You bring him back, you don't give him the title, people turn on you.
But the thing is, it's like, I know they're worried that he could get hurt and stuff like that, but bottom line is, like, he adds a layer of depth and gives the bookers that many more options. You know? Why can't you have Bryan come back and have him wrestle AJ Styles?
Oh, that would be a phenomenal match.
When Nakamura,
and you have people coming in.
When Nakamura comes in. Bryan wants to wrestle Nakamura.
Yeah, but you know Nakamura has to have one run in NXT.
Yes. Well,
because for the simple fact that he's going to hurt someone.
Oh, yeah. He's stiff as fuck.
So, he's Doc Gallows and Anderson most likely would not go to NXT.
I'm so surprised, too, that they signed somebody like that. Because think about it. How many guys are in the WWE?
You want to know why they signed him?
Why?
Because on January 5th, the WWE Network premiered in Japan. He's the face of the network in Japan.
Yeah.
I mean, it just makes business sense. The Great Khali, if he was ever a good wrestler, which apparently at one point in his career he was, right, would be the face of the network in India.
Yeah.
Right? But now you wasted Jinder Mahal. Right, because that's what you did.
Yeah.
Right, and you wasted him, and that's the face of your company. You have that face of your companies in different places.
See, my whole thing, though, is it's like, I love Nakamura. I think Nakamura reminds me of, like, a fucking character in, like, a Neo Geo fighting game. Like, he's just so weird
and he's good. And
eclectic.
You don't have to say anything, but he speaks fluent English.
Yes. He doesn't have to. And I love the strike-based offense.
Yeah.
But it's like, there's not a lot of guys like that. Yes.
And it's unorthodox, and it's fluid, and it's hard-hitting, but it's safe. But the problem is, you get a guy like Brian Ender who wants to wrestle him. He takes a little bit to the left, gets knocked in the head with the knee, and that's it.
And I'm not complaining, because like I said, Nakamura is like right now is probably like top 10, and like what my top 10 favorite wrestlers right now, he's in the top 10. But like if I was the WWE, somebody that I would have made like an incredibly hard push for would be Okada.
Yeah.
That's the guy I would have
looked for. But he doesn't speak English. And that's a barrier.
It is, but it's like he's the fucking rainmaker. You know?
He is, but remember what happened to Yoshitatsu. The guy's good.
Yeah, but to put like Tatsu in the same league as Okada is like...
No, they're not the same.
Yeah.
Right, they're not. But what gets me is you have talent already on the roster that's not doing anything.
Yeah.
Titus Stardust maybe could fill a fast lane match. But it doesn't deserve to.
But it's like they've done that. That's the thing, though. They've done that match 4 or 5 times on Raw, and it sucked.
Yeah.
You know?
But what about Cody and Titus? You know, have Titus be the guy who pulls him in from the brink and then turn a heel Rhodes.
We need another Heyman guy. And I'm not saying that it could be Cody, but if you had Cody go, like, full shooter and just be like, listen, I have, like, my entire life I've been in this industry. I know everything about everybody. I know everyone's strengths, everyone's weakness. And he just goes to work, and they change his moveset entirely, and they let him get a little grizzled and stuff like that, like grow some fucking facial hair and look like a man and not a 12-year-old. You know, maybe you could have something different with the guy. I don't know.
And then I would like have Eden introduce his matches, right?
Yep.
And then at the end of the match, when he says the winner, he says, come in here, and just have him give her a kiss. And just say, this is my wife, and you don't get to sleep with her.
What?
Yeah, a little bit of heat. Right?
And Eden's his wife? I didn't know that.
Yeah, Eden Rhodes.
Oh, wow.
Eden Rhodes is his wife. And he goes, this is my wife, and you don't get to sleep with her.
Good for Cody. Jesus
Christ.
Right,
he goes, my dad was a star. I gave you what I thought he wanted. Now I'm giving you what I want.
There you go. You should write this shit.
And then you just sit there, right? And he kisses Eden one more time, gives her a little pat on the butt, which is not PG-13, but it's close enough.
They said llama penis on Monday. They can do that shit.
So you have him walk away, right? And then like Stephanie comes and is like, hey, you shouldn't touch female talent like that on TV, right? And he goes, excuse me. Who are you to tell me how male talent should touch female talent? And he looks at Triple H.
Wow, nice.
You see what I mean? Yeah. He's got an attitude now.
Yep.
And now he's starting to back it up.
Yep.
So now Cody Rhodes goes, you know what? I want a championship. So Kalisto goes, I'll give you a shot. He goes, shut up, little man. I don't play with children. And goes directly for the IC title, which he's won already.
Yep. He was a damn good Intercontinental Champion.
But you see, I just gave you 6 months of TV.
Yep.
So.
Oh, man. Is there anything else that you want to add?
No, because I'll just keep booking till the end of the year.
We need to have, like, a booking podcast. I think that's what we should do next time. We should, like, book Fastlane. We'll book Fastlane next time.
All right. I think that's interesting. So.
All right.
But I hope you guys enjoyed the discussion. I hope we gave you a little bit of insight, and I hope you got to see why we make the choices that we make. Right. And this is a new year, and I think it's going to be an enjoyable ride for everyone that listens to the Review Fix Wrestling Podcast. Don't you think, Patrick?
Ooh, yeah.
That's right, brother.
Oh, that was
I wish
farting,
I could have a Slim Jim. I had nothing but chicken broth for like 6 days.
I had one yesterday. It was gangster.
Oh, my God. It's full of beef lips.
It's so bad, but so good at the same time. And then it's like your breath smells so bad that like your dog doesn't even want to give you a kiss after. It's like...
Yeah, they'll eat the Slim Jim.
Yeah. That's how you know it's bad for you.
I think that's where we should end.
All right.
Thank you for listening to the ReviewFix.com Wrestling Podcast. Tune in next week for another bone-chilling TVT-inspired episode.